Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to welcome you to the Labrish. And we're going to take a quick trip virtually back to the island of Jamaica, because here on a Wednesday, we gather in the backyard to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And I want to welcome all the fans online, listening online, and those who have called in, and just ask you to just take a minute and chill. And to tell you that you were listening to a little classic reggae by Kevin MacLeod. I've never met Kevin. I don't know who he is, but I just love his music because it just gently takes me back to the days of my youth when I used to be so carefree as I was chilling on the island. So whether you've been there on a visit, you grew up there, or you're still there, I want to welcome you and hope that you are in your favorite chair and you're going to visit with us for the next hour. Because this evening we're back on our course of celebrating and being enlightened about the way it was when we were in school. And I have a delightful younger guest with me tonight because we have been featuring seniors who have graduated in the 40s and 50s and perhaps early 60s. But this evening we are blessed with having a special guest who graduated a little later than most of us, me included, because I like to bill myself as a senior's senior because I'm way up there. But I am just so privileged to be able to use this medium to discover a lot more than I knew when I left the island, because I just love finding out about the Jamaica that I love. I still love it. I don't plan to go back there to retire. I'm well retired where I am, and I'm using this retirement to help to leave some living memories of the people who lived through the period that we're discussing and even before that. So without any further ado, I want to give you a little bio on my current guest this evening. She's Mrs. Laura Barnes Bell-Navis. Her husband has been on the show a couple of times. And she actually was born in Kingston. She's a Kingstonian like me and a lot of the fans, but went to school at first in St. Catherine, I think she'll tell you more about it. but she and then also to West Indies College. So we're going to learn a lot about that this evening because I did a little digging, and I don't know if she has all the historical facts, but she will be sharing her experiences with you at both of her schools. So I see that she's already on the board, and I want, for the listeners who may come by later, I want to state that we are here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. And for this segment, we're flip-flopping, but tonight we're talking about education the way it was in the mid-60s. I think she graduated in the mid-60s. But without any further ado, I'm going to open up the mic and welcome my guest for the evening. So, good evening. You have Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
We have Laurel here.
Hi, Laurel. And where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in actually from Florida.
Great. What part?
Plantation, Florida. That's Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome, Fort Lauderdale. We have lots of callers on the board from all over. Some Skyping in. Those Skyping in, I can identify you by 1111111. So if any of the Skypers and all the other people, 973-786-678-718-718, if you wish to interact with Laurel and me, just hit 1 on your telephone, and then I will see that you want to join the library. So the mic is yours.
Thank you
so
very
much. So I want to start off by welcoming you and thanking you for being our guest tonight. And just a minute, let me make one announcement because I am so excited. I always like to announce when we have a benchmark in our listenership. And I don't know if any of the fans remembered when I celebrated the first 10,000, then it was 20,000. Then this week we passed the 40,000 downloads. So that means that the shows collectively have been listened to 40,000 times. So I'm really, really thrilled and grateful to all my guests and fans for their support. So now, Miss Laura, welcome.
Thank you so very much, Margaret. And I must say that I feel rather elated to be offered this opportunity to speak about my childhood schools. First of all, I was born in Kingston and going to little baby school, kindergarten school. My first elementary school, however, was Guys Hill Elementary because my family moved away to Guys Hill. And
May I ask you, for the rest of the people who may come by later, because we have visitors who are foreigners who come by sometimes, tell me where Guys Hill is, what parish, what city.
Okay. Guys Hill is in St. Catherine.
Okay.
And the city was Guys Hill.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah. The city was Guys Hill. And I do remember that the elementary school, it was shaped like an E.
Hmm, interesting.
I do remember that it was shaped like an E. And very, very fond memories. I remember that my first teacher was Miss Plunkett. She liked me a lot, although she would whip me whenever I, you know, she thought that, say, for example, if they gave Mentos. And Mentos, to those who don't know, was like 5 2s, 6 2s. And you had to answer it right away. That was considered Mentos. So
before the computers, right?
Long before,
the adding machines.
We knew nothing about that.
Hat.
It was timetables. It was your timetables. 2 1s, 2 2 2s, 4, and on and on. However, if I did not get my Mentos right, then I got whooped with a ruler.
Was it with a cane?
No, with a ruler.
Oh, with a ruler.
A ruler that was that board measurer, which was like 12 inches long.
Uh-huh.
You remember what a ruler was?
Yes, I remember. In those days, they were made out of wood, not plastic.
Of course it was wood. Of course it was wood.
So, well, you know, the kids nowadays have grown up in the days of plastic.
Plastic.
So most things made out of wood, they don't know anything about that.
Yeah, the rulers were wood. And then I got slapped if I did not get my mentals right. So as a result, we knew that mentals were every Monday morning. So I spent Sunday night studying my timetables that I could get my mentals right.
Interesting.
Okay. And I also remember that for our toys, they had a lot of grass in the schoolyard, and we sat down as girls, and each person got a little tuft of grass. And we actually brought a little comb to school, and you sat down and you would comb that little tuft of grass, and you put a little ribbon in it.
Oh, really?
Yes. I remember that distinctly. Right, like we put a little ribbon, you would plait it, you would curl it, whatever way you could. But that was an everyday.
Hold on a minute now, because my picture in my eye of grass is not that long that you could put a ribbon in it.
They were long tufts of grass, and they grew flat.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, and they grew flat on the ground.
Uh-huh.
So we would like weed around it, and then you would get what was your little head of hair.
I got you.
So the grass represented the hair. So that I remember very, very, that remains very vivid in my mind. And then when I moved to St. Catherine, I didn't know anything about climbing. So the kids that lived there, they could climb the guava trees, the star apple trees, and then they would drop it. And, of course, I would eat them off. So many times they came down and they thought, well, they should have more guavas or more star apples, and I'd eaten them off. So as a result, what they would do, they had little cloth bags, school bags that were made out of cloth.
Uh-huh.
And they would take that up in the tree with them.
Uh-huh.
So they would pick their fruits, they would drop it in the little cloth bag. So when they came down, I got none.
Well, you know, you could have learned to climb too.
Because I wouldn't climb. Well, subsequently, that made me learn to climb.
Wow, isn't that something? That's a very fond memory.
And I remember them having the little soup kitchen, where I think in those days you could get a lunch for a penny.
Ah.
And I do remember that. Those are fond memories that I had of Guy's Hill Elementary.
And what grade did it go up to? Do you remember what grade you went up to in that school?
I went up to probably about third class in those days.
Uh-huh.
Third class. I think fifth class was the highest.
I got you.
Right. So then I left and went to the Cayman Islands and stayed in the Cayman Islands for probably about 4 years, where I went to high school there, but I did not finish, and then I returned to West Indies College, which was a co-ed high school and college at the time.
Ah, and where was that?
West Indies College at the time was Mandeville, Jamaica. It is now renamed as, I think it's Northern University of the Caribbean.
Yes, NCU.
Yeah, right. So at the time, like I said, it was a co-ed high school and college. So I started back in the third form, and I had to repeat third form, but I went right up to the fifth form, and I graduated in 1966. Nonetheless, I have very, very fond memories of West Indies College, of which I would like to share with you. And if you have any questions...
Okay. And let me just take a break and invite the callers on the line. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, or if you have something that you know about any of these schools and would like to share, please hit 1 on your telephone, and I will know that you want to join the Lambridge. So back to you, Laurel.
Okay. Like I said, at West Indies College, it was a Adventist vegetarian school.
Wow, so, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a vegetarian school, so as a result, there was no meat whatsoever. No meat, no fish.
And it was a boarding school?
It was a boarding school. You could live on or off of campus. I lived on campus.
Gotcha.
And they used a lot of, like, they cultivated, because they had a farm there, so they cultivated a lot of peanuts. And the peanuts, they used the peanuts to do what, to make what was called nut meat.
Nut meat?
Nut meat.
And it tasted, I've never heard of that.
Yes, nut meat. It tasted like chopped meat.
Really?
That's what we call chopped meat today, yes. But it was made...
I've never heard of that. I know that they have tofu now that you can flavor in different flavors to imitate meat.
Right.
But I never heard of nut meat.
Nut meat. The Adventist people, I think they still know of nut meat.
Interesting.
Yeah, to back there. But as I said, at the time, was nut meat, and they prepared it with a gravy, and they served it with what was called bulgur rice.
Bulgur.
You know what bulgur rice?
No, never heard of it.
Bulgur rice is it's not fully processed like we have white rice or brown rice. No, it was a coarser rice. It's more like oatmeal.
So it has a shell on it. It has like a shell on it.
It has like a shell on it. Of course, they said it's much more nutritious, which I do believe.
Of course it is.
Of course, it doesn't go through, you know, the whole lot of pasteurizing and processing. But in those days, it tasted horrible.
Did it have an odor?
I don't remember about the odor, but it was just rough and terrible. And they made it with the, and you had it with nut meat. And then for breakfast, so for years after I left school, I did not eat eggs. Because, as I said, they have a farm. And the farm, the chickens were only used for laying. So you have eggs for breakfast. And sometimes eggs in a different fashion for lunch, and eggs again for supper.
Wow.
So in the morning.
Now, did the eggs go with the nut meat? They make like an omelette or something?
Yes. The eggs and the nut meat, they would put it together and make up like an omelette with gravy.
Interesting. Very creative, I think.
Yes, it was.
I wonder what the process of making nut meat is.
I have no idea. I don't recall what it was all about, but I'm sure that it was done right there because, like I said, they had the farm. So it was done right there.
Yes, well, I'd like to ask anybody on the board that know how nut meat is made, please let us know. Put up your hands. Okay. Back to you.
Yeah. Nut meat. And like I said, for breakfast, it was always big boiled eggs, and they were blue.
Blue eggs.
Those eggs were big boiled eggs, and they were boiled until they were blue.
Oh, they were boiled till they were blue. Yes.
Yeah, they were boiled until they were blue, and every morning you had eggs for breakfast.
Hard-boiled eggs.
And of course, yes, hard-boiled eggs, and you had brown bread. There was no white bread. There was, because they had, of course, the bakery right there. So
very
the bread
healthy.
Was baked. Yeah, it was very healthy, and you had whole wheat bread right there, and that was always breakfast. It was no coffee, no tea.
What did you drink?
We drank like cocoa.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And that was right there. That was processed right there on the farm.
Ah, but not like chocolate.
Yeah,
like
in chocolate.
The old days, they had chocolate tea.
Yeah, it's like chocolate. It's like
okay.
Chocolate.
Where they're great. Chocolate. Okay, got you.
Right. So that was good and that was delicious. But the
and
nice
they had cows? Did they have cows? So you got cows milk?
Yeah, absolutely. And you had milk. You drank
wow.
fresh milk. Oh, yes. There were lots of milk.
Wow,
and,
that's great.
And, yes, absolutely. And you had the nicest meal was stew peas.
Uh-huh.
The nicest meal was stew peas. Of course, it was stew peas without any meat.
Oh, and it still tasted good.
Yes, and that because you got
perhaps
a lot.
Put some of the nut, do you think any of the nut meat was in it?
Any what? Nut meat?
Yes. That'd be funny.
I'm absolutely sure that nut meat was in it. That was probably
oh, really?
The meat. Yes.
Wow.
It had
wow.
nut meat in it, but it was nice. And, of course, you had it with the bulgur rice. But
oh, wow.
The point is you got sufficient.
Uh-huh.
You always had sufficient because it was a big stew.
Got you.
And that was always good. And, of course, the men, they would, once you sat around a table with a man, he had to pull out your chair.
Oh.
He
so
had
they
to pull
out them the social graces.
Oh, absolutely. He had to pull out your chair and seat you.
Interesting.
As a lady. And then, like I said, breakfast was like at 7 o'clock and classes started at 7:30.
Wow. Not much time to eat those eggs.
No. We were
okay.
We were supposed to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So the first bell went off at 5 o'clock in the morning because worship started at 6.
Okay.
And, oh, my God, it was so difficult to get up because your bed was so warm and Mandeville was very cold.
Ah, yeah.
So it was always a challenge. 5 o'clock, oh, I'm going to lie down a little more. And the second bell went off at 5:45.
Uh-huh.
And you would still be lazing in that bed, not wanting to get up.
Huh.
And the last bell, the last bell was at 6:05. And that was when we were all dashing for the door.
Now, tell me about the bathrooms now. How many people had to share a bathroom?
Well, they were just communal bathrooms on each floor. Like you had probably, that's my memory, probably had about 10 bathrooms, 10 shower stalls.
Uh-huh. And, of course, it's not co-ed dorm, is it?
No. Ladies, no. We had the ladies' dorm and the men's dorm.
Okay.
So the bathrooms, like I said, and you were expected to use rubber slippers that we referred to at the time as tips.
Would you spell that for me?
T as in Tom, I, P as in Paul, S as in Sam. Tips.
Oh, tips. Ooh.
Right.
They called tips?
I don't know. But you had to wear that always in the shower stall.
Huh. And they were made from rubber.
Yeah, it's when you go to, you know, when you go to the beauty shop now and the nail
salon.
And you get your toes done.
It fits between the toes. It just fit between the toes.
Absolutely. That is what was called tips in those days. So everybody had a pair of tips.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we had our shower. So what I'm saying is that we were dashing to the worship room. Lots of time you didn't even brush your teeth because you're running.
Oh, my gosh. Did you wear your uniform?
You weren't supposed to wear your uniform because by then you should have been dressed. But lots, including myself, was not dressed. So I ran in what we called at the time your duster, which is like a house dress.
Yes, I know a duster. Interesting.
So you were washing. Yes, to worship. And worship lasted for 30 minutes, where we sang.
Okay. So were you penalized if you were not dressed properly?
No, they did not penalize you. They penalized you if you did not come to worship.
Oh, render your hearts and not your garments.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They did not penalize you for what you had on. But if you did not make it to worship, then you were penalized. And there were different forms of punishment. The worst punishment was what was called campus bound.
That's like a lock-in.
Absolutely.
You can't leave.
You can't leave. Because on a Friday, we normally got out of classes by, say, 12 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
On a Friday, and then you could go to the city of Mandeville because West Indies College was further up on a hill. It was not exactly in the town of Mandeville.
Uh-huh.
So you were allowed to get off the campus and you could go down in Mandeville, any little thing that you wanted. And, of course, when you bought a patty, it was so delicious.
But you're supposed to be a vegetarian.
Well, on the campus,
had veggie patties those days?
Huh? No. There were no vegetarian patties. Yeah, and even if they had them, we wouldn't want them.
Ooh, okay.
So you could have your patty or whatever you wanted off the campus as long as you didn't bring it on campus.
Okay,
so when you had a patty, oh, my God, it was like a steak.
So even you, though you were sinning, you felt like you were in heaven.
Of course. Of course. Absolutely.
Okay,
and,
I got it.
So you had to be back on campus. You went off for probably 3 hours. But like back to what I said, that was the worst punishment. If you did not,
because nobody could sneak in a patty to you.
No. Well, we did, but, you know. And so you had different forms of punishment. For example, they would say, okay, you had to be the janitor for a week. But
and what are the duties? Did the janitor have to clean the toilets?
Yes, absolutely. Ooh. You had to clean the toilets. And but as I said, I would have preferred to clean the toilet than to be campus bound.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. Because they could campus bound you for a month.
What?
Yes, they could if you have repeated offenses of not going to worship, of course.
Oh,
of course.
My God.
One time you would get a warning. The second time you would get another warning, but three stripes and you were out.
Ooh, baseball rule.
Yeah, three stripes and you were out. And I would like to talk about things that we did because it was a vegetarian school. We would sneak bully beef on the campus.
Wow.
And
bully can.
bully beef, oh my goodness, it tasted so delicious. But the funny thing is, when you the dormitory had three floors, and believe me, you would smell that bully beef on the three floors.
I know.
Yes.
I was thinking about that.
You could smell that bully beef on the three floors. And I recall one night, my roommates, I lived along with three other girls, and we bought a can of bully beef and a hard dough bread. So a white hard dough bread, and because hard dough bread was not served on the campus, no white bread.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought the can of bully beef and we opened it. And, oh, we ate our heart's content. And the dean stayed down in her quarters on the first floor and she smelled it.
Mm. And followed the trail.
She followed the trail, came right to the room, knocked on the door. Of course, we would not open the door.
Ah.
So I ran behind a chest of drawer, which was like in a corner. I hid behind there. One of my friends one jumped because we had a ledge.
Mm-hmm.
One went through the window onto the ledge, and I think one was under the bed and one stood up in the closet, in the clothes closet behind the doors, behind the clothes.
Uh-huh.
However, she would not move. She called another student and said, go downstairs in my apartment, look so-and-so, and bring up the key, because she had a master key that could open every door.
Okay.
She opened the door, and right as she stepped in, there was the bully beef can in the waste paper basket.
That is funny.
And, of course, she digged down the place until she found all of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she found
caught
all
in
of
action.
Huh? Caught in
action. I said caught in action.
Yeah, and that was a very bad thing. Of course, you're going to be disciplined because they would go before what was called a faculty at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they then would discuss your fate.
The food police.
Food police. That was, a total violation.
Oh my!
So we were worried. Can you ever imagine? They took like a week to decide your fate.
Oh my!
And then
God.
You're worried.
I really committed a crime.
Yes, it was a crime, and we were worried that we would be expelled.
Mm.
So the entire week, your stomach was light. You're worried. Finally, they called us the Friday after classes, and oh my God, you're shaking because you don't know what is going to be the outcome. And I do remember at the time, the president of the school, he got us all together and he said, well, in other words, what you did is an unpardonable sin. And we have decided to let you go home.
Oh, no. What?
I am telling you, you froze. And then my friend, she started to cry. I was frozen. Because only thing I'm worried about, I'm going to get my butt torn to be expelled from school for violating. So when we were all crying and worried, and I was like shaking. And he said, when he saw our reaction, he said, okay, because it's a first offense, we are going to campus bound you for a month. Let me tell you something. That was like the sound of an orchestra.
Oh. Let's start.
It was like the sound of an orchestra. I mean,
wow.
Campus Stone, it was hard, but I mean, it's nothing near than being expelled.
Oh, my goodness. So I, in being comical about it, I would say that the bull in the can brought you down.
Brought you down. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Interesting. That's a fascinating story.
Mm-hmm. So as a result, I never took a chance thereafter with bringing any sort of meat
mm-hmm.
on the campus. But I'm being very honest with you. If anybody has had it and they gave me some, I would partake of it.
As long as you know, not in the room where the can is.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, it tasted so good.
Yes, and but I'm surprised you ladies didn't know that it had an aroma that would drift through the doors.
But the point is, if I open a can of bully beef or corned beef in my house now, I don't smell it.
Well, perhaps they've refined it and it is not as, it doesn't have as much aroma. Remember it. I actually remember it when I was growing up as having a strong odor. You could smell it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like before I left Jamaica and you had a Ethiopia, you had an American apple. It smells
yes.
so strong.
Yes. Well, you must remember now, those things were all natural in those days. No
mm-hmm.
chemicals put on them. The animals weren't eating chemically
yeah.
treated feed and, you know, all of that. The,
mm-hmm.
the fertilizer on the grass. So everything has changed. Perhaps
mm-hmm.
the bully beef
mm-hmm.
isn't smelling anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's things have
yeah.
changed.
Absolutely.
Neither are the apples.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was like foreign body, how it would smell in the place.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
a little tin of sardine. Because you
uh-huh.
had girls that would bring sardine and it would smell. And as I said, if they gave me some, I would partake of it, but I was
but
not.
But sardine was allowed because it was fish.
No, it was not allowed.
Well, in other words, you couldn't bring in any outside food at all.
You could bring in outside food, but the point is no meat, no fish. We didn't eat
oh,
any
you
meat.
You could eat fish either?
No, no, no meat.
You considered
no
meat? I know
yeah.
it's protein.
Yeah, they did not. We did not have fish. As I told you, our meal, our proteins.
Oh, peanuts. I am not very familiar with the Seventh-day Adventists and what they do. Are you saying they don't eat fish?
I think they eat fish. But at the time,
gotcha.
I was still in Scotland, not even a little piece of salt fish, nothing.
Ooh,
nothing.
Wow.
So when there's a little can of sardine, oh my God, that thing, it tastes so delicious.
I know.
And like I said, yeah, we went down to Mandeville on a Friday, and that was what you look forward to, getting a patty. If you had the affordability, then you would have been able to probably buy a little curry goat. But I don't remember having that affordability. That patty was my best meal. You know, I'd have the patty. And that remains indelible, etched in my memory.
Oh, my
goodness. We had what was called Vespers on a Friday evening. And Vespers was a service, a worship service, but you got all dolled up to go.
Why?
Oh, at the time it was very fashionable, all of your fabulous clothes, you would take it out on Friday nights to go to Vespers because your Sabbath, that's the beginning of the Sabbath.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, that was welcoming home.
So we would call that more or less your Sunday best.
Right. It was the beginning to usher in the Sabbath. And then we did not have, they did not cook. There was no canteen on the Sabbath. No cooking on Saturday. So they
what
gave
did you eat?
We had on Friday. We had what was referred to as a sack.
S-A-C-K?
Yes, a sack. And what it was a transparent plastic bag that had like sugar bun and cocoa bread and cheese.
Oh.
And then you got like a nectar. So
So let me ask you something. They had cows on the farm, but you didn't eat them. You just drank the milk?
The milk.
Huh, interesting.
They were just there for milking.
And chickens on the farms, but you only eat the eggs.
We only eat the eggs.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I wonder what happened when they get old.
Throw
them away?
I don't know what they did with them. But I know, like, the chickens, they would lay until when you look at their butts, it was, like, bloody.
Oh, my gosh.
Huh. It was like bloody because they laid and laid and laid and laid at the time.
They were begging to be killed and eaten.
Yeah, because they just fed them and they laid and fed them and they laid. Lots and lots and lots of chickens.
Huh.
Yeah. So.
No, did they have actually any, what was the academics like at the time? Were they teaching anybody about farming and taking care of those animals and anything like that? Or that was done by hired help?
No, it was hired help. And also at the time, you could work your way. That was the school at the time. It offered a lot of opportunities to grown people who did not have the opportunity to go to school. Because I remember that there was a young man in my class, and I looked in his book, in his Bible, and I saw at the time that he was 34 years old.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, he's so old.
You were a teenager, I suppose.
I was a teenager. And I'm telling you that those students, they were studious. They did not waste any time like us who would gallant and laugh and do stuff in the class. They were the older students, they were very, very studious and dedicated. And they got excellent grades because, as I said, it's so they could work their way through school.
Uh-huh.
So you could work, like, on the farm. You could work in the library. You could work at the laundry. You could work in the canteen. And then whatever money you made, it went towards your tuition.
So did they live on campus, too?
Yeah, they lived on campus.
Oh,
they lived on campus. Yeah, they lived on campus. So I do recall that there were several, they didn't teach like farming as an academic, but there were guys and girls who worked on the farm.
Right. They had on-the-job training, more or less.
They had, because they milked the cows. They worked in the bakery. They worked in the laundry room because, of course, they were students there who paid all the way, and they did their laundry. They were, their laundry was paid for. And these students, the less fortunate students, they worked in the laundry.
Hmm.
They worked in the laundry. There were girls who had secretarial experience that worked like in the office.
Mm-hmm.
But you could work anywhere. You could work anywhere if you did not have, your parents did not have the financial resources, you could work, and whatever money you got, it went towards your tuition.
I got you. It's like on-the-job training. You work your way through. Got it. Very interesting. I don't know about any of the listeners on the board, but I had no idea what went on. I didn't even know we had a seven-day Adventist school at the time. I knew nothing. I'm a Kingstonian who only went Sablamar to visit my mother's relatives. But the rest of the, it's like, you know, I was in my little corner of the world in Kingston, mm-hmm. and I had no idea that all of this was going on in Mandeville.
Oh, yes. And there were students who would come. They had absolutely no money. And what would happen, they would work for like a year or two, just working to accumulate enough money to begin school. So they gave them that opportunity.
Oh, well, that is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that is still going on now. I think it's on the same. I'm going to read a little bit about the history and where it is now. But I think it may be on the same grounds that you went to it as.
I don't know, because it's now like a university. At
yes,
the time,
yes,
I
have
was
a little
here,
information
right,
here
only,
that I
was like, yeah, it was like theology. It
uh-huh.
was like theology, education, and secretarial science. Those were the three things that they offered on a college level.
So may I ask you a question? Did you go there because your parents were Seventh-day Adventists?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah, yeah. It was a big thing in those days, as a part to go to West Indies College when you were a Seventh-day Adventist. It was a big thing. Yeah,
right.
To get admitted there it was more like prestigious.
Uh huh. Hmm.
You know, and I worked. I mean, my father paid my way, but I worked and made some monies for myself. I worked
on the campus.
Yeah, on the campus. I worked uh-huh. I remember working in the laundry. That didn't last long because, oh my God, it was a whole lot of clothes and you had to start washing. Like,
did you have a washing machine?
No, you had to wash with your hand and the brush.
Funny.
It's the hand and the wash brush and the washboard and cake soap.
So let me ask you this now. When you're in that laundry situation, did you have like a supervisor or somebody telling you how to do it and what to do?
No. You got, when you just started, they suppose, for example, they would sort like whites and then
mm-hmm.
they would sort colors. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whites would be shared up, but you would have to rub those colors with the brush, and it was mm-hmm. Canon cake soap.
Canon cake soap. Never heard of it.
Yeah, it was Canon soap, which was a brown soap, and that's what you would use to wash. So you had to pay specific attention to the cuffs and the collars.
Ah.
So
now,
that was,
did the students or the teachers wear, how did the men dress? Were they in suits or in shirts and ties or what?
The college students, they wore like ties. But
uh-huh.
the high school students, the guys wore their khakis. And
uh-huh.
the girls.
And what did the teachers wear?
The male teachers wore suits.
Oh, they did?
Yes, the male teachers wore suits. And the high school girls like myself, you wore a blue tunic with a white blouse, with black shoes and blue socks.
Okay, and everybody that attended the school lived on campus?
No, they had students that lived off campus.
Oh, okay. I see.
They had students that lived off campus.
Uh-huh.
But personally, I lived on campus. And like we said, Vespers, that was a dressy. You would put on your best because you were ushering the Sabbath. And
uh-huh.
then on Sabbath, which was Saturday morning, all the ladies had to wear white dresses to church.
Really?
Every girl had to wear white dresses to church.
Suppose it's a sign of purity.
White dresses to church, and the guys wore their suits.
Really?
Yes, and the dean, she would from time to time have you put on your dress, and she would inspect it that the hem was not too short.
Interesting.
Because you
could
not wear
short. I would love to know if those rules are still in effect.
They're absolutely not.
It would be
not.
Very interesting to find out.
We did not wear pants. We didn't
wear
pants.
You
were
not allowed to wear pants.
No, no. And I looked on the website and I saw girls in jeans.
Oh, so things have changed.
Yes, things have changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So
and I want to take a minute here to make a point to the listeners on the board that
mm-hmm.
this is really just fulfilling me, because I know that there is not a lot of documentation as to the way things were in the period we're talking about. Because, you know,
mm-hmm.
now there is documentation. As you say, you can go online and see what people are wearing, and not only that university, but the universities all over the world,
mm-hmm.
people can know what's happening just by asking Mr. Google. And there are videos, there's information, there's written information. So there's so much more now that is being recorded than what was in our days. Nothing was.
Absolutely.
If an event was not important enough for the gleaner to pick it up at the time, it wasn't recorded.
Yeah.
And I Googled that school, and there is really not a lot of information of what went on in terms of the students and the structure and the wonderful stories you're sharing with us during that period. So I just want to thank you for sharing that with us today, because I think it is important for people who have lived the story to tell the story. And I'm asking the listeners on the board if they know of someone who can contribute to this celebrating and enlightening and preserving. Do drop me a line or give me a call or go to our website, which is www.backyardlabrish.com, and just let me know what you would like to be discussed. If you would like to be a part of the show, I would be more than happy to welcome you. So back to you, Miss Laurel.
Okay. And then what I wanted to talk about, that in those days, you could not even hold a guy's hand.
Really?
If you are attracted to anybody and say, you know, you liked each other, you had to apply for what was called escorting privilege.
Interesting.
You had to apply to the faculty for what was called escorting privilege. Now, I would imagine that they took into consideration your overall behavior and your grades. And then a faculty got together, and it was either a yes or a no. If you got a yes, and you had a young man who you liked or whatever, then he was allowed to visit you in the dormitory, and you sat in the lobby, and the dean sat there.
Ooh, chaperone.
Okay, she sat there, and, you know, if you came over to visit you for an hour or two, and you sat in the lobby, and you could talk to each other. I do recall that one of my friends, she told me that she had kissed her boyfriend. I said, how did you do that? And she said,
The dean went to the bathroom, I suppose.
No, she said, no, we were reading a newspaper, and we held it up.
There's always a way around it.
Well, there's a way.
Hey, definitely. Wow.
And, like I said, if you had the escorting privilege, then, of course, you're going to any event. We had what was called surprise. and surprised with an annual banquet that sometimes it was given by the boys or sometimes it was given by the girls.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you had a particular friend and everybody knew, then automatically you would be seated with that person.
Ah.
But
did they have special places that you would sit all the time when you went to the lunchroom? Did they have like places?
No. You could sit anywhere you wanted. Like I said, if a young man sat with a lady, you know, then of course he would be expected to pull out your chair and seat you.
Right. So in on the surprise time, you
mm-hmm.
would have had the okay from the lords. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The faculty.
Absolutely.
To be together.
Right. So if you had escorting privileges, then that would be fine because automatically you'd be paired up with your friend.
Uh-huh.
But if you did not have a boyfriend, so to speak, then they would automatically set you up with an escort.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And at that time, if they set you up, you can hold hands?
Not really, but you can talk and sit together. While I'll say not really, I'm going to give you an incident. And heaven help you if the guy that they set you with, you didn't like him.
Ooh. No way out.
Because I recall once that they had set me up with this guy, and I did not like him. And he tried so hard to be nice. And I was so snobbish.
Mm.
However, towards the end of the evening, I really kind of cooled down and, you know, talked to him. Back to what we were saying about holding hands, I do recall that they had set me up with this guy, which we both had an attraction towards each other, but we did not have any escorting privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I do recall it when you went to surprise, of course, you wore your very best. It was like you were getting married and you had the gloves up to your
elbows. There's one up from church, from the assembly. No,
absolutely.
The special thing there. It's
yeah.
one up from that.
One up, yes, from the vespers.
Okay.
A couple notches up from that.
Okay, may I ask some questions? Could you show any skin, neckline or anywhere?
Oh, no.
Arms?
No,
absolutely. No plunging necklines.
Oh, no, and no sleeveless dresses or anything like that.
Oh, really?
No, absolutely
How
not.
How about a tight-fitting or a skirt that is not gathered?
It could not be too tight.
Okay,
it could hug
a little.
Not show much of the curves.
Okay, I got you. Okay,
yeah.
It's a missionary thing. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Right. And I recall that I had on my gloves, and I took off the gloves the night, and the young man was sitting beside me, and I gave him my gloves.
Mm.
And the dean of men saw us, and he called him, and he said, "Give me that glove."
Mm-hmm.
And the guy gave him the glove, and he said, "You tell her to come to me for this glove."
Ooh. Okay.
And it took me about a month to go for the glove.
Right.
When I did go, he told me it's not ladylike. And no respectable lady would take off her gloves and give it to a man. I just could not see what a glove.
No, may I ask you, were these foreign instructors?
No.
Or native Jamaicans?
Native Jamaicans.
Excuse?
Native Jamaicans.
Okay.
So they were extremely strict.
Interesting.
What we would enjoy, like I said, if you had somebody that you were attracted to, like this guy that I liked,
oh, it was so nice when we had rain.
Ooh, because tell me about it.
When we had rain, then the guy could hold the umbrella over your head and walk you to the girls' dormitory.
And so get a little hug.
And you get a little hug and a little smooch.
I love it. Wow.
You could get a little hug and a little smooch because the girls' dormitory was like in the east and the guys were on the opposite end, far over. So when the rain fell, oh, that was heaven. Because you got a little hug and you got a little smooch and you would lie in bed and think it over and over and over and over.
And I'm sure that the boys that were really quick on the trigger might have got something else. Who knows?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we would save the old days story. I come to bump.
Oh, God. It was so
nice. I don't know about the rest of the listeners, but I'm having a ball. I feel like a kid again.
Yes, it was fun. I mean, you look forward to rain. When you had a boyfriend, you would look forward to rain.
Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain.
Let it rain. Let it
rain. Oh, my goodness. This is so interesting.
And, of course, on Saturday nights we had what was called social. And we would all meet in front of the dining room, and we played games.
Of what course, kind of games?
Very little healthy games, like whispering this, that, the other, or pass this around.
Oh, no, strip me naked.
No, absolutely
not. That's a joke.
Absolutely not. I know nothing like that, because they were so very... On Saturday evenings, after we had Sabbath, Saturday evenings, you could go for what was called a Saturday walk. But guess what? The boys had to go in one direction, and the girl went in the other direction.
Isn't that something? Neither the twain shall meet.
We could not go together. You could not go together.
Now, did you have a chaperone or one of the faculties that went on the walks with you?
No.
And nobody got lost? I mean, they didn't get, a boy or a girl didn't get lost now and then?
No, because we walked together in groups.
I got you. All right.
We walked together in groups, and guys went one direction and girls went the other direction. There was absolutely no two together, no.
So are you walking on the property or are you walking outside of the campus?
No, outside of the campus.
Ah, okay.
Outside of the campus in opposite directions.
Interesting, very interesting.
So, like I said, you will see that I've had very, very fond memories of school. At the time, it seemed like torture.
I know.
But after you grew up and you look back, you see that they meant well.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, they meant well. They meant
well. And of course, you have to be respectful of their religion. I'm just being a little silly, but I don't know much. I know that the Seventh Day Adventists recognize Saturday to be the Sabbath, but that's all I know about that particular religion.
Yeah.
Is it called a religion, right?
Yeah, from 6 o'clock, from sundown on Friday evening till sundown on Saturday evening.
Okay, so it's similar to the Jewish recognition of the Sabbath.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's similar to the Jewish recognition. Yes.
Right.
Like I said, these are some of my very, very fond memories of West Indies College.
So may I ask you, do you still, your parents were both Seventh-day Adventists?
Yes.
At
the time, yeah,
Do you have siblings?
Well, this is it. My mother, my parents were not married, but they had my brother and myself. And then both went in opposite directions and married other people.
Right.
So my father had like two other children in his marriage, and my mother had nine other children in her marriage.
Wow.
So
but they were both Seventh-day Adventists at the time,
well,
is what
I mean. Well, it was more of my stepmother.
Ah.
I did not actually grow, so to speak, with my biological mother.
I got you.
Yeah, my stepmother, who was of the Advent faith. And then I left, after I left and went to the Cayman Islands, then I stayed with family there that were Adventists. And they were the ones that were instrumental in me getting into West Indies College.
West Indies College. Right. I understand now. So I see a hand up from 718-379, so I'm going to open the mic. Welcome to the backyard. You have Margaret and Laurel.
This is Lay in the Bronx. I find the discussion very interesting, and I would like to know what year did your guest go to school?
I graduated in 1966.
1966.
So,
I'm looking at a chart with various presidents of the university or the college, as you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And 1960, it was C.D. Standish your president?
No, it was...
Baz.
No. Yes, I knew Mr. Baz. But prior to that, Mr. Baz took over from Dr. Bowman.
Ah, yes, okay.
Yeah. Right.
S.O. Bowman, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see that. No, I just wanted to get it. What time frame that was?
Right.
Because as you seem to allude to, the everything has changed more or less since.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Totally. It's a totally.
I find this very fascinating, and I would like to, which I'm sure you did too, Lay. Did you know any much about them being vegetarian and all of that stuff?
No, I wasn't sure because I never really, a lot of my relatives are Seventh-day Adventists.
Mm.
And the only thing I know is a humorous situation. I was invited to a birthday party a while back. I don't remember if it was a cousin or whose, and they had everybody lined up. It reminded me of when I was in school, and we had sixth form social. All the boys were on one side, and all the girls were on the other side.
Yeah, that's how we sat in church.
And as I gathered that we were not supposed to dance at this affair.
Yeah.
No. Oh.
Yes. A couple of the girls got up and danced together.
Oh,
and before
really?
You know it, they were doing dances.
Okay. What year are we talking about with you, Lay?
This was about 15 years ago, here in the Bronx.
Oh, I got you.
I had just met these relatives. I didn't know them before because they were from Panama. And they were all Seventh-day. But I knew nothing of their religion or their beliefs, except that I mentioned Saturday was their Sabbath day. And I was learning, especially at that particular affair, that they weren't supposed to really socialize that much.
Ah, interesting. Very.
Yeah.
I'm totally clueless about, you know, the details of the religion itself. So thank you for sharing that with us. And Laurel, I mean, to me, it's just been a marvelous education. We're talking about enlightenment. You have certainly enlightened me in not only what went on at the time, I don't know how much of that is still relevant today. And if anyone on the board has any relatives or they are involved with the NECU, and may I at this time, I'd just like to share what is online now. I know a lot of people can find the information online, but you might not have the time. So I'm just going to read with you to you quickly about NCU now. Northern Caribbean University is a private liberal arts institution and is owned and operated by the Jamaica Union Conference, which it and the Atlantic Caribbean Union Mission, which is the Seventh-day Adventist institutions, occupying a 200-acre property and located 2 miles south of Mandeville Town. So may I ask you, Laurel, is that the same place you think that you went to school, 2 miles from
the same
town?
Place.
It's
the same place.
Oh, yes, I thought so. In Manchester, Jamaica.
Yeah, it's the same place.
Right. This university offers a number of professional, pre-professional, and vocational programs in a spiritual, wholesome atmosphere. NCU currently enjoys an average yearly enrollment of over 5,000 students from approximately 24 countries and is one of, listen to this, is one of the largest Seventh-day Adventist institutions in the world.
Yep.
Now, here's a little history about it. Founded in 1907, Northern Caribbean University is the oldest private tertiary institution in Jamaica and was first known as West Indian Training School.
Mm-hmm.
Following a temporary closure in 1913, it resumed operations in 1919 and offered courses up to the 12th grade, theology, teacher education, secretarial science, business, and natural sciences. It became a junior college. It achieved senior college status in the late 1950s when it began to offer the bachelor's degree in theology and was renamed West Indies College in 1959. Since then, baccalaureate programs in some 20 other disciplines have been added. In 1999, the college was granted university status by the Jamaican government and was renamed Northern Caribbean University. Currently, the university offers graduate and postgraduate programs in the sciences, religion, business, and education. Isn't that interesting?
Very.
Laurel, did you know that it was started from 1907?
Yes, I knew of that.
Yes, and it was temporarily closed for a while. So it's one of the largest Seventh-day institutions in the world.
Yeah.
You know, Jamaica is known for so many, you know, unusual things that a lot of people don't know about. I didn't know about that. Did you know, Leigh?
No.
I mean, that's news to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not surprised, you know, because there are a lot of things that we are the first in and have the most of. So this is just another one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's really, really just a great story. And we still have a little time. I'm so glad that you were able to share all those wonderful details with us. And I'd like to mention that we're here in the backyard, in Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And the whole objective of getting together in the backyard and taking a virtual trip back home is to go back in our memory bank and just relive some of those wonderful moments for the seniors who have left Jamaica or grew up there, or even people who have visited long ago. You know, things were so much different, as we heard tonight. The college is still going, but a lot of things have changed, because before you couldn't even hold hands, and girl students are walking around the campus in jeans now. So things have changed. Right? Yes, so with that said, we'd like to offer people on the board, and the board is filled. There's lots of people calling in from all over. If you would like to join the Labrish, make a comment, ask a question, please do so by hitting 1 on your telephone, and my little computer will show me that you're raising your hands as if you were in school, and you can't hold hands with me, but you can raise your hands, and I'll be glad to open up the mic and welcome you to the world of Backyard Labrish. So please feel free to do so. For our listeners listening online, you'll have to call 718-766-4558, because this old lady can't multitask, and I can't be on the phone and talking with you at the same time. I am open for a co-host who might be able to do that for me, and you don't have to be in my city. You can be any place in the world if you would like to join me as my co-host and operate the section of the website that can interact with the callers that are listening online, because we do have quite a few people listening online most times. I see my Skyper has disappeared, but if anyone else online would like to make a comment or ask a question, Please feel free to do so now. We do still have a couple of minutes. So, Laurel, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, there's so much more that I remember about school. One of the things is that I omitted to say, like they said, foreign students. Yes, they had a lot of foreign students in my time that came actually to learn English.
Mm.
And this girl stands out very vividly in my memory. There was this girl from Venezuela, and her name was Beatriz Ordanita.
Isn't that something?
And she
so
could not.
Beatriz, you're out there. Laurel remembers you.
Yeah. Beatriz Ordanita, she came from Venezuela. She could not speak a word of English. And I remember that we just crowded around her. Like, wow. All she spoke was Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad came along with her, and they both had looked so lost. However, she got under the wings of the English teacher, who was Aunt Dell. She has passed away several years now. And Aunt Dell taught English. Let me tell you something. Within a semester, she could understand what you were saying.
Isn't that something?
She could understand what you were saying. I mean, her accent was there, but she could understand within a semester. And those of us who have studied for another language is the most difficult thing.
Uh-huh.
I did some Spanish and was difficult. very, very difficult. But she learned the language to the point she stayed at school for about probably 3 years. And
wow.
But she learned the language to a point that she got a boyfriend.
Wow.
She got a boyfriend on campus and got her escorting privilege.
Ooh.
And everything. And she could speak the
probably
English.
The little girls.
Yeah. Lovely girl. Right. Lovely, lovely girl. And like I said, another thing that I remember is that once you had breakfast at 7:30, then lunch was at 12:30, 1 o'clock. And then you had supper at 6. And that was it. So we were always hungry. Because if you didn't have any extra money in your commissary to buy a little snack, you're hungry.
So what was available in the commissary?
You could get little crackers, little cookies and stuff like that.
I got you.
Yeah, you could get little crackers and cookies. But I do remember one night we were so hungry that there was a chocho vine outside, and it was laden with chochos. And we had what was called the pressing room, was where in those days people didn't perm their hair. They used to straighten it with a straightening comb.
Right, right.
So we had a little oil stove in there that we would put the comb on to heat. And we went outside, literally in the dark, picked the chochos, brought them in, and went down to the pressing room and boiled them.
Ah, and that thing doesn't have any taste. It's like tasteless, isn't it?
It was tasteless, but nonetheless, it had tasted good to us because we were hungry.
Oh, that is so funny.
And those are my very fond memories. I do remember a girl that they had a dean, a late woman dean, and she came from, I think in those days it was British Guyana. But she was young, because most deans were older women, or they looked old to us.
Right.
And she came, but she was young and very pretty. And she fell in love with a theologian student.
Wow.
And
were they always walking in a different direction? A student. She was an instructor and fell in love with a student?
Yes, she was the dean. And she fell in love with a theologian student.
And what happened?
So, of course, the faculty came down on her because, I mean, that was an utter disgrace.
Oh, my gosh.
And we heard that she told the faculty that I am human. What have I done? I am human.
Did they catch them doing anything like holding hands?
No, no, no. No, no. They had to offer her escorting privilege. So this guy would visit her in her apartment.
Ooh.
Okay.
Was the dean? She was the dean. Oh, hell.
She was a dean.
Gloria come to bomb.
And they brought her up on charges.
Wow.
And
like in the army.
Yes. Oh, yes. And she subsequently left.
With the student?
And she left, and they went to British Guyana, and they got married.
Oh, what a wonderful ending to the story.
And she sent us a picture, a beautiful 8x10 picture of her wedding. And she said, "This is the happiest day of my life."
Oh, good for her. So all those who threw out, take that.
She got married. So, I mean.
Oh, that is so cute.
Yeah, she got married, and I do recall that when she was leaving, she called each of us, and we cried because we loved her.
Yeah.
We cried. But, you know, she said, I have to leave, not because I want to, but because I have to.
Ah. So may I ask you, are you in touch with any of your batchmates in any way?
Not many of them live here. There's one that occasionally I do call her in Jamaica because she's still there.
Right,
and
right.
I spoke to one of my cousins this morning, but she went at a later date than myself.
I got you. Well, you know, I will be making an announcement, but I'll be putting together a medium that hopefully some of our guests can connect with some of the people that they have mentioned if they're still around, no matter where they are. And it will be a private thing, not like Facebook or any of those things like that. But I'll tell you more about it because I am really so intrigued with all of this technology that, you know, I'm discovering new widgets and all sorts of things every day that I just absolutely love. And I want to encourage my seniors to not to be so nervous about it. You know, a lot of people, senior people, tend to think that, you know, they're going to do something wrong or something is going to go wrong if they try. But you know, it's cool, as the young people would say. And I can tell you, if I can do it, anybody can do it. So with that said, I tell you, I have just been totally entertained. I don't know about the rest of the people on the board, but I've had myself a ball. Thanks to you, Miss Laurel.
Thank you so very much. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I do listen every single week.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I want to encourage people on the board, if they have enjoyed the show, you know, you can always listen to it again just by clicking on the link. If you're on my list, if you're not on my list, you might need to want to get on my list because I do only send out information about the upcoming show. I don't use your name for anything else. And if you can go in the archives and select a show you want to listen to while you do your email or anything else. And if you see something that you think a friend might like, all you do is copy the web address, which is called the URL, in your address bar, and you can mail that to them by email so they can listen to any show you think. But I encourage you to be part of the Backyard fan base and do visit our website and drop me a note. Or if you're on my list, you know, let me know if what you're enjoying, what you'd like to hear. And I want to just thank everybody for their support and to ask you to just spread the word. So with that said, we still have a minute. So if anyone wants to chime in here and add anything to the pot, please do so. We are allowed some meat tonight on Not Meat. Is it Not Meat, Miss Laura?
Yes.
Not Meat. I never heard of that before, and I am glad that you introduced me to it, and this is made from peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's meat or called meat, but it's made from peanuts. So with that said, thanks, everybody. Leigh, did you have a parting word?
Yes, I just wondered if your guest knows the logo for NCU.
No.
It's Ubi Semper Decimus, where learning never ends.
Where learning never ends.
Where learning never ends. Okay, that's interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Very nice.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Mr. Leigh from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Ms. Laura from Florida, thank you so much for being our guest this evening, and all the listeners on the board, thank you for your support, and I hope to see you next week when we get together in the backyard where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So with that said, I will end as I always do and ask you to make it a great week. Bye.
Very nice.
Bye.
Night.